Trading Places, a 1983 film directed by John Landis, draws on common tropes in Christmas films. It features heartless rich people and their various street encounters with poor people, heightened by the merriment of the holiday season. Eddie Murphy plays Bill Ray Valentine, a small-time street hustler who is falsely accused of robbing commodities broker Lewis Winthrop III, played by Dan Aykroyd. After Valentine is taken to jail, Winthrop's tycoon bosses, the Duke brothers, arrange to have Valentine and Winthrop trade places in social class positions. The brothers are carrying out a bet on the outcome of a nature versus nurture social experiment. The film ends with the two subjects in the experiment getting together and exacting their revenge on the Duke brothers by carrying out a clever short sale on the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Well, Denise, this is a great movie to talk about on Christmas Day as Trump and his Republicans play Santa to the super rich, giving them pretty much everything they wanted on their wish list.
Can you imagine what that visit to Santa Claus sounded like?
Yes, right.
All the regulations out the window, all the big cuts and
corporate
big
tax
loopholes
and
opened up. And
Well, Trading Places, I think, is an interesting film because it's set in the holidays. And there are a lot of these morality tales along the lines of Frank Capra, It's a Wonderful Life, and Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It's been made into a dozen or so Scrooge films.
It does often have a Scroogey feel to it at the beginning.
Yeah, and there is all of the Christmas lights and the expectation you be generous, the ethic of generosity, which then is set against the greed and lack of humanity of the super rich. So it plays very much with those ideas, but then it's always interesting to see where it goes. Trading Places is a double entendre. It both is about trading places in terms of race and social class positions, where through a variety of not entirely believable machinations, Eddie Murphy comes to run a company involved in commodities trading, and the former trader Winthrop III is left on the street and penniless and has to hustle to survive, and stoops to the very same things that Valentine had done himself to survive. So it has a kind of liberal ethic to it.
And it's all based, of course, on this framing that follows the film, which is the debate between the Duke brothers, who are the big stock traders, and they are debating this nature versus nurture, which in those times, a lot have written about it being steeped in that culture of poverty mentality, or this idea that when you're in poverty, you adopt or adapt to a certain ethic, and that explains more why you are that way.
Which has a certain appeal to liberals, if you bring someone into the world of the wealthy, they will behave in ways that are appreciated and adopt patterns of civility. And Murphy plays this well. There's some great lines where they're trying to explain what it means to be a commodities trader. So you're kind of like a bookie.
Right. And there's also the scene when he's first at the house and he brings all his friends from the bar and they're partying and dancing and leaving their drinks on the table, and he gets kind of frustrated, kicks everybody out because they're not acting, quote, civilized.
Right.
I mean, it's interesting and a little bit.
Yeah, and that is
an uncertain way of interpreting that, but
there's some element of truth how when people acquire wealth and suddenly becomes very anxious about his things and protecting his things.
Some writers, even more recently with the film having celebrated its 30th anniversary, it was in 1983, so that was around 2013, lots of folks started writing about it again, and a lot of the talk was about the race and the class dynamic, but the dynamic about whiteness and the way that whiteness is really what you also adopt along the way with that wealth, with that advancing class.
There is something interesting about that. What there are cultural codes associated with whiteness that are also at the center of this film, that it is about ways of behaving and ultimately moving into thinking about the world in terms of commodities and trading places. I think that the title of the film is very clever in that second sense of we end up on the trading floors of the New York Stock Exchange. And at the end of the film, there is also this play on what it means to trade places.
Mm-hmm. There's also the Jamie Lee Curtis character, Ophelia, who is the prostitute who with the big heart.
A tough cookie.
She's a tough cookie, even still. She's made a lot of money, and she knows how to handle her money. And she comes along to be an integral part of the scheme to win back the wealth, and seemingly from the way the end plays out, a nice Hollywood ending of reasserting one's status.
I don't think we have to worry about spoilers after 35 years. If you see it now, you've probably seen it before, and it goes to show that people who see movies repeatedly are not necessarily just interested in the surprise ending.
Right.
Yeah. Something else going on that draws you back.
And well, and it's fun because it is the 80s. It's 1983, so there are all sorts of things to reflect back on, especially because the context and the story is so pertinent. And much of that's been pointed out, again, at the 30th anniversary, lots of folks writing about the economic conditions we're in, the
That was during the Reagan era and after a big tax bill passed in the Reagan era.
Deja vu.
Cutting of social programs. Mm-hmm. And so it has an incredible timeliness to it. Let's talk a little bit about that scene that's been perhaps the most discussed in the reviews of the film. In fact, the short sale has been referred to as the Eddie Murphy rule that was put in place after the big stock market crash in 08, and that now there are breaks on short selling of the kind you see in the film. And even at the time, there were more breaks than this thing that becomes a runaway sale. Millions and millions of dollars each of these characters in the film won and or lost within minutes. But apparently the details are very true to the time in terms of the rules on the trading floor and how the stock exchange worked.
I was happy to find out that I wasn't the only one who was deeply confused by what was going on. This film also came out before Wall Street, the first Wall Street, which was 1987, and this again, 1983. Then since, of course, we've had another Wall Street film, but many other Wall Street films, The Wolf of Wall Street. What was that film?
The Big Short. Yeah, which was also about the short sale.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could say that at the end of the film, it completely reinforces capitalism by positioning the surviving protagonists. They get to rebel against the super rich who have no humanity, and they form an alliance across race and class lines to rebel against the super rich. But then they do identify with the rich and want to trade places. So there's just this notion of moving around the system rather than overturning it. Although on the other hand, it did seem like it came close to being very critical of how commodities trading has nothing to do with human need or humanity.
That hasn't changed. It's an interesting movie, and it's also completely goofball. We have an ape involved at one point. Al Franken makes an appearance.
Yes.
And now, formerly undiscredited.
Al Franken. It's like a Christmas tree, a little something for everybody there.
Yeah.
Like all
and
these
it
ornaments.
Has an SNL quality. That was really the heyday from the late 70s into the mid to late 80s, with all of the Saturday Night Live regulars being able to cross over and make these films. And this film is actually one that has a certain substance to it. And amidst all the humor and goof-off of it, there's a story there. The opening of the film alone is actually really Interesting. With the juxtaposition of those folks interacting with their commodities, the butcher, the grocer, the fishmongers.
Everybody getting ready for the holidays. Mm-hmm. But,
and then to the inside of this grotesque, rich, wealthy world where Winthrop, who's Dan Aykroyd's character, is being dressed by his butler and being fed by his butler.
And there is a critique of the isolation and the barrenness of that world, too, the emptiness. He's very stunted, whereas Valentine, the street hustler, has to be much more creative and perceptive. Winthrop imagines when a black man bumps into him that he's robbing him. And just how much of capitalism is based on trading that among people who basically sit around and drink and have very, very little going for them other than they can move things around on a chessboard and the whole area futures trading.
The way that world is devoid of passion or something that seems lacking in scene with Winthrop and Penelope, his fiance, when they're undressing to go to bed or to even have sex, we're not sure, but it's all very orchestrated and one piece of clothing comes off and they're having this conversation, very choreographed.
According to upper class rules. Mm-hmm. Denise Morris and Jan Hawken talking this Christmas morning about the film Trading Places. A really interesting film to watch this afternoon.
It's on Netflix, available for those who have that. It is technically a Christmas film because it happens during the holidays. There is generosity and redemption.
Uh-huh. And rich people who are notably ungenerous during the holiday season.
And a drunken Santa Claus at some point.
There's one early terrific scene where he says to his butler, one of the Duke brothers, the tycoon bosses of this trading company, he says, you probably think I have forgotten you, your Christmas bonus. And he gives him $1. And of course, it's a bit absurd, the dollar. But the point was well taken.
Right.
They're very tight, as I think rich people often are. Mm-hmm. They're extremely tight. They're worried about whether they're paying too much in wages. And the Winthrop is trying to, I think, make the accounts work. There's always this question of where the money is going, and of course, then we learn later that they're paying for insider trading information. But a lot of that tightness that you're talking about, kind of shutting out human needs and sensuality, the level of control that accompanies their world is also what allows them to just shut out any aspect of humanity beyond their own immediate desires.
And the gamesmanship comes through, just their bets. Their bets are meaningless because there's no real money involved.
Right.
But they bet the dollar and they have the power to move people around and destroy lives. Mm-hmm. Not to be too dramatic, you know, there's a lot of laughs here, but underlying all of that is the truth.
And that is a lot of commodities trading as well, that it is moving people around, and what matters is the price of the sale and not about lives that are lost in the process or livelihoods lost in the process. So it has a kind of satirical bite to it that sometimes is pretty subtle and you could say fails in the end, but along the way it has its merit.
So it's Christmas Day, and folks should, while they're recovering from all that food they're eating, just pop on Trading Places. Well, thank you, Jan. This is Denise Morris and Jan Hawken for the Old Mole Variety Hour. We've been talking about Trading Places.